Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome back to Chill Mini episode 40 something. It's a UFO heavy one. I'm just going to take the reins right away, gentlemen, because I'm just going to follow. We just did Betty and Barney Hill part one. New UFO photos were released by Jeremy Corbell. Do you guys know who Jeremy Corbell is?
No.
Yeah, he's a big UFO documentary guy. Showed up on the Joe Rogan podcast a couple of times. Kind of an annoying voice, kind of an annoying way of speaking, but honestly does a lot for the UFO community the best he can. He released a bunch of photos that were supposedly taken by the Navy. A lot of triangle-shaped UFOs, upside-down bell-shaped UFOs. And recently, as of... When was this posted? 6 days... Oh, 2 days ago, the Pentagon actually confirmed that those are indeed pictures taken by the Navy. I'll read a little article here off of disclose.tv, one of my favorite places to go. A U.S. Navy destroyer supposedly taken incredible photos, incredible video footage. A video shows several pyramid-shaped UFOs swarming above the ship at night. The leaked video was just recently shared on social media. Filmmaker Jeremy Corbell was anonymously sent the baffling video back in July of 2019, as well as detailed information on an alleged intelligence briefing conducted by the Pentagon into unidentified aerial phenomenon. I can confirm that the referenced photos and videos were taken by Navy personnel. The UAPTF has included these incidents in their ongoing examination, said Susan Gao, Pentagon spokesperson.
You got it.
God damn.
Nailed it. Locked it down.
Fuck. As we have said before, to maintain operation security and to avoid disclosing information that may be useful to potential adversaries, the Department of Defense does not discuss publicly the details of either the observation or the examinations of reported incursions into our training ranges or designated airspace, including those incursions initially designed as a UAP, end quote. That's it. That's really the story. You can go take a look at it. It's like any other photo. They're really hard to tell. Like
they're
what you're
triangles.
Looking at. Yeah, little triangles, pyramid shaped stuff.
Interesting. But
another confirmation. Apparently the way the Navy does it is that they'll get like a lot of hits on their radar and they'll literally send somebody out on the deck with a camera to start taking pictures to try and get photos of them because they can never like really keep good track of them otherwise. More fascinating stuff, man. More fascinating UAP stuff. One day the Greys will step onto this green earth and extend their arm in peace. And I will say, thank God. And I will join them.
Keep Earth green for the Greys, guys.
Keep Earth green for the Greys.
They need it. They need it when they colonize. Yeah.
No, they're not going to colonize. We're going to integrate.
Oh, right. They're going to come collect us and collect data so that they may iterate upon us once again.
Right. Man, listen, we all Greys are the ones with the jerk-off machines. That's all I need.
What? Yeah, take me to your leader.
That's what I'm saying. Just take me there. Just take me there. Strap me up and just install it and I'll be good.
Captain Picard, like, engage. There are four lights. There are four holes.
Terrible.
Absolutely terrible.
Sign me the fuck up. All right. That's all I got for my little story, boys. Sorry, nothing.
Old British guys. This is the worst segue of all time. Prince Philip recently passed away. Prince Philip of
English
internet fame.
All right.
How old was he?
International fame, 99 years old. Dude looked like he was in death's door for a while. I feel like it's probably a relief to a lot of the people close to him that he's finally just passed on to the other side, you know, peacefully.
Is that true?
I don't know. Sometimes taking care of old people can be really hard, you know?
I mean, they did have a lot of money.
I mean, so, he is Prince Philip, but I, you know, before he was famous for looking like a zombie or something.
He married his cousin.
Yeah, well, he was just known in general for being sort of like sort of wild, off the cuff kind of guy, especially in quotes in media. The article I have here is from Mental Floss, and the thing that they bring up is one time he told a kid that a kid said he wanted to be travel space in his dreams, and Prince Philip told him he was too fat to be an astronaut. Lots of people are very broke up about his death.
No one said that he was like a good dude.
I'm not trying to render.
Can I just give you a couple of quotes from him from his past?
Yeah.
Here's a good one. When a man opens a car door for his wife, it's either a new car or a new wife. We don't come to Canada for our health. We can think of other ways of enjoying ourselves. I don't think a prostitute is more moral than a wife, but they are doing the same thing.
Ooh. It's like Einstein levels of disappointing opinions about women.
Jesus Christ.
But, you know, I'm not trying to render a judgment on him today. That's not why we're here. I promised in the episode that I was going to tell you something about Prince Philip that you maybe didn't know about. And I think this is perfect because it's so nuts that this exists. But there is a Pacific Island nation called Vanuatu. Mm-hmm. And there is, and you know, I'm doing my best here with these pronunciations.
That's very good.
But there is a village called Yao Nanen on the Pacific Island nation of Vanuatu. And on this island, Prince Philip was not just Prince Philip, the husband of Queen Elizabeth. He was like a god that there was a whole religion based around. Starting in the 60s, that was called the Prince Philip movement. And they believed that Prince Philip was born to fulfill an ancient prophecy, and that he was the son of an ancient mountain spirit that would one day take the form of a pale-skinned man, travel abroad, marry a powerful woman, and eventually return home to the island. And they decided that it was Prince Philip who was this person. And so when he arrived,
was he Royal Navy? Is that right? He was Royal something.
Yeah.
Before he became like a consort is what he was really.
Yeah. He just like is, you know, I mean, if you look at the British monarchy and you think like that is the, you know, the end of a line that started hundreds of years ago, you know what I mean? Like if you compare it to those things and you're like a small island nation, you don't really have the context culturally for what people think of the British royal family in modern times, you know, you think about him in like a prince from a faraway land. Right.
Man, and who would you have gone with for your god to meet that particular criteria?
Yeah. So well, he
a pale
actually
man who married a powerful woman.
I know. Right. He actually came to the island in 1974. Chief Jack Niva, who is like a warrior chief, he greeted the royal yacht. He saw Philip on board. And the quote is, "I saw him standing on the deck in his white uniform. I knew then that he was the true Messiah." They believe that a lot of what goes on in the world is because of Prince Philip. They claimed that Barack Obama, a black man becoming president of the United States, was thanks to Prince Philip. They felt like Prince Philip's magic helped Obama find Osama bin Laden. They even sent Prince Philip a nal-nal one time, which is a club for killing pigs. And he sent them back a pic of himself just being like, "Check it out. I got this thing," holding it back to them. The picture is in a shrine in Vanuatu that has other photos. It has the Union flag. And in 2017, right after Prince Philip announced that he was retiring, there was a cyclone that came and threatened the island. But they don't consider it so much a threat as they consider it like the powers of nature getting excited that Prince Philip is going to return home to their island soon because he is from there in their mind, right?
Wow, right, right.
He's, okay. I mean, the spirit is from there, and he took the form of Prince Philip.
I was going to say, the spirit got so excited he threw a rager as a cyclone.
Right, but so I'm sure you're probably thinking, like, now that Prince Philip is dead, like, what happened to these people? And news got to them on April 9th that Prince Philip died. And Jean-Pascal Wahe of the Vanuatu Cultural Center said that the islanders believe Prince Philip's spirit will now come to Tana, which I believe is returning to the island. And until then, the group is now just going to move on, and they're going to now worship Charles instead. Prince Charles is going to be their new.
What? They're moving over to somebody else?
Pretty easy. He's the new avatar now. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Dude, I could be the new avatar. I'm pale.
You want to be the deity of this island?
Dude, I want to be a deity of any island. That just sounds like a sweet gig.
C-3PO
got to become like king of like the Ewoks.
But it only worked for him because he wasn't affected by the pressure.
Yeah, come on, man. Remember, you got to be worshipped, and you got to like make them do things.
Daytoa. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I want. That's what I want in my life.
Yeah. I feel like it'd be too much pressure. But anyway, super weird fucking thing. There's an island that's like a cult of Prince Philip that they believe he's God. It's insane. And now it's Prince Charles.
Well, shit. At least they're pretty harmless.
Yeah.
All right. Jesse?
All right. Well, this one is a topic thanks to and shout out to all the amazing people over on Reddit for us who are on the Chilluminati subreddit. This was posted. It is from, I assume, someone's Facebook. And I'm just going to read what it says because here's what's going on. Apparently, in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, around the Mothman statue. I'm just going to read this from Dusty Morrison. I can't believe I have to keep saying this, but please, please, STOP, leaving beans at the Mothman statue. My father-in-law is getting calls from the mayor, and your donation to our local deity of another dimensional plane, well, he would rather you give them to the homeless shelter just up the road in his honor. Y'all, look out for one another. Hashtag Mothman, hashtag Point Pleasant, West Virginia.
Yeah, I saw this. This is amazing.
Wait.
People are leaving cans of baked beans around the Mothman statue. Yeah. Now, I'm just going to send you this image. This is the image. People are leaving baked beans right near the Mothman.
What? No, that cannot.
Now, I'm gonna give this one to our investigators over on Reddit because everyone was like, hold on. Did the boys cause this to happen? Well, a lot of people got on this, but I'm going to give Orange Tiny Hands a shout out here. It's Fallout 76 related. Beans are the consumable food in the Appalachia region, and there's a fictional cult following in the future year of 2077 within the game who worship Mothman as a divine being of their high-powered sect beliefs. So they offer beans, their only consistent food and life-supporting nutritional source in the Appalachian region of the game, as a sacrifice to their sect of beliefs regarding Mothman as their divine high power. So there you go.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right.
Man, for a minute, though, imagine if it was because of the Boston Baked Bean Boy.
Imagine. Ugh.
If you live in Point Pleasant, forget about the canned beans. It's all about the box of beans that looks like a brick wall.
Yep.
With a little window inside so you can see those candy-coated peanuts.
Yep.
They're not even beans. That's the thing about Boston baked beans.
And they're not that good either, which just disappointed me. Yeah. I expected an M&M style coating. What I got was a nasty coating.
It's really like...
Yeah. Yes, that gross, like, semi-crunchy texture. No good. No good. Not a fan.
Also, can we talk about how the Mothman looks like he's fucking glowing in this picture? Like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, I think it's the reflection of a window that the person's probably taking the picture from.
Maybe. I've got to get to this fucking statue. No,
hang on. That is definitely looks like a computer monitor reflecting off of the window that they're clearly standing behind.
Do you live right there?
No, you can just tell. You can see like
the whoever took this picture, like, are you like in a business nearby?
Maybe. I've never been there. We've got to go.
Yeah, I will touch the statues for metal behind. Listen, I promise.
Okay, I know we're about to end the minisode, but once we're all vaccinated, I still have to get my car from where I once lived to where I now live.
Yes.
And if you still want to do that road trip,
I'm down, dude.
We can make it a detour in West Virginia.
I'm at max efficacy, baby. That's what I'm saying,
man. Take a couple days. Take a real true road trip.
I can't be touched.
It'll be good times. Well, thank you guys so much for listening, everybody. And thank you so much for your support over on Patreon. We couldn't do this without you. We will see you guys next week for a brand new minisode. That's it for us. Goodbye.
God bless. Bye.
Hello, my little Chilluminati.
No.
No.
Chillmini 40, whatever. I don't even know where we are anymore, dude. I have no idea.
I don't even know where I'm located physically right now, dude.
Just don't know. I'm just a number in the equation of life,
dude. Brother. I'm scrolling down the metaphysical plane of my Safari browsing windows, my dude, inside my medulla oblongata.
Listen, man, I live in Texas now. Like, this is like UFO Central. Every night I look up at the sky. Not a damn thing yet. Not a goddamn thing yet.
You feel like you, because you're remote now, you should be. Is it creepy outside yet? Are you like outside getting creeped out all the time?
No, I'm not getting creeped out, unfortunately. No creepiness. I just want to see a UFO in the sky, man.
I'm going to do some
NASA,
night walks.
Like the NASA area. So like, this is Space Central, baby. Give me the aliens.
We should get a little bonus goal on the Patreon to get you like a little night vision GoPro and force you to walk out in the woods by yourself at night.
Oh yeah, dude. You kidding me though? I would mostly do that without fear. I'd still have a little fear, but mostly without fear.
Do you remember MTV's Fear? Cause that's what it would be like.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I had a torrent of that back in the day. That is a fucking sucks. Great show.
No,
what are you talking about?
Show's MTV's great. Fear was garbage.
It was a garbage show.
It was lit. No, I can't say it was. welcome back to the Chill Mini. I got a reader story today, everybody. Do you want me to just crack open with the reader story?
Go. Like I have a new story.
All right.
I have a new story.
This one is actually relatively fresh. It's really short. It's called The Tripod Creature by our user Jay Slangenstein.
That's what they call me. You know what I'm saying?
Jay Slangenstein. Jay Slangenstein, the tripod creature.
The tripod creature's name is Jay Slangenstein.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. That's what I like for it. I am a skeptic of all things paranormal and usually can come up with some rational explanations for a weird happening pretty quickly after hearing it. But that doesn't stop me from loving getting wrapped up in the stories and mysteries that the pod puts forth. And or watching hundreds, I just inserted that word. That word wasn't even in the sentence. I put it there.
Watching hundreds of hours of UFO documentaries.
Yeah, I wish. Or watching hours long documentaries on the paranormal. I'm also a Methodist minister, so I cannot claim to be a wholly empirical thinker vis-a-vis supernatural occurrences. It was about a month before the pandemic when my wife, also a minister, and I were driving to a dinner to celebrate our recent marriage that we both saw something that shook us to the core.
Question.
Answer.
Before we get to shook to the core.
Uh-huh.
Where did you meet? I need this information updated on the Reddit. Where did you meet? How did two ministers meet? Second, were you ministers before you met? Third, who marries two ministers? Great questions.
Ooh,
I have
good question on the third one.
Yeah, I need to know. I need to know these things.
What would we call a minister only dating app?
What would you call a minister only dating app?
Yeah, that's my question to you boys.
Collared.
Done. Bravo. Oh, that's a $1 million idea right there, dude.
You hear that?
God,
that's me.
That's why we pay you the big
clean off my hands. Nice.
Anyway, they were driving down to celebrate dinner, marriage, blah, blah, blah. They saw something that shook us to their core. We were driving down a country road around about 5 o'clock, talking about something inconsequential. Then we saw it. Both of us stopped talking immediately, and the few seconds it was there seemed to drag into minutes. There, in a clearing amongst the trees, was some kind of monster. We reported it as slightly different looking. My wife saw a tall black creature with strangely angled legs. I saw a three-legged creature with a long neck that seemed a little too long as it stretched into the air. We were at slightly different angles, so such differences can be expected. It was pure black and seemed to be smooth all over its body. It had no discernible head and only moved slightly, like a tree in the wind. It seemed like something out of Spore. What a great game, by the way. Spore was great. It seemed like something out of Spore.
Those creatures were never meant to be made real. That's disgusting.
No, no. Yeah. Agreed, but they were still great.
Yeah.
An animal cobbled together out of the imagination of a teenager working with clay. It didn't seem threatening, but it still scared us to death to see something so unnatural standing in the woods. We looked at it as long as we could without adjusting the speed of our car. I would hate to see this thing ambulating. And just before it was out of sight, the thing jerked up and revealed what it really was. It was a woman in her 40s or 50s in a black sweatsuit picking up a frisbee. We were able to describe the limb difference my wife and I saw by the fact I could see her reaching down and my wife only saw her back. The weird angle she stood at was her holding up one arm for balance and forming a tripod with her arm and legs otherwise. We reflected later that if we had been going just a bit faster, we would probably have only seen her as the strange monster we saw on the back road that day.
At least it was fucking something, man.
Right? Even now, we will sometimes confess to each other that we think we are going to see the monster off in the distance, even knowing it was a trick of the eyes. It is much easier for me to empathize with some of the stories I hear of monster sightings, having had something like this happen in my own life. So there it is. No big mystery, but still an image I can never forget of a monster I'll always be looking out for. Beware the tripod. It's probably faster than you think.
I will say also, like, seeing an unexplainable creature, even if it, you know, it's fake in this case, right? Like, it's a mistake, but like being in that moment where you're like, what the fuck is that? Do you see that?
Yeah.
Bonded.
Yep.
Bonded.
That marriage will last forever.
I'm not trying to be approved. You know, I'm just saying like anyone, like you will remember that for the rest of your life.
It's true.
Man, that's the difference between like me and a lot of, I would have been like, stop the car. We got to go look. We got to see what the hell this thing. I would have been died that day. The tripod would have killed my ass.
It would have taken me an hour, but I eventually probably would have decided to go over.
I would have been like, stop the car. We need to go see this.
I'd probably be too scared, honestly.
You'd be too scared?
Like, go, boys. Yeah, unless you were there with me.
What if you might get powers from that? What if you become the Elliot?
No, you're getting impaled by the tripod. The tripart stabs you right in the chest.
Do you think you're too old to be the Elliot?
Mathis is 100% the Elliot. Mathis is like
what if you're the guy who's like, shit, you'll hurt him. You know, like that guy.
I gotta
like,
get him back to his ship. And he Alex says E.T. is like,
E.T. phone home, dude. What is it?
And I'll be the delightful Drew Barrymore.
You'll be like,
obviously, the role made for you.
I'll be like, Reese's Pieces.
Alex, what did you bring us, brother?
I brought us a popular French cryptid sighting that occurred in Poland recently.
Ooh.
This is totally crazy. A woman in Krakow, Poland, she looked out her window and she saw something hanging in the lilac tree outside of her house for like several days.
Days?
Yeah, people were freaking out. They were closing their windows because they were worried that whatever it was in the tree was going to fly in and bother them. It had this sort of like oblong brown body, sort of like alternating in colors between dark and light brown up and down, but no visible head, no visible, limbs. So they sent out the cops to go see what it was. And it was just sitting there in the lilac tree and everybody had seen it. And it was just giving off a threatening aura. And the cops got up close and it turned out to be a croissant that somebody had thrown into a tree to feed the birds.
Oh, these are great stories today, man. I'm loving the tripod monster, the croissant cryptid, croissant.
Croissant. It's a French cryptid that you know.
Croissant.
It looks amazing. It looks like a pretty hearty croissant. I don't know if you guys have seen this. I have no idea how to link this poster, this picture to you, Rob, but I'll send you the article and you guys can see it. it's a hearty. It's like one of those grocery store croissants.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? Croissant. You know?
Like the kind that would make
like
a French person would be sad about this croissant.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the picture and honestly from a distance,
it looks like a zergling. From far away, it looks like some type of like alien a cocoon.
Yeah. Mothra baby pupa.
Yeah. A Mothman child.
But really, it's just like a craft services level.
It is. Croissant. Yeah, it is hard, but you are right. You are right, Alex. This is a chunky croissant.
It's a big boy. Yeah.
It's a large boy. That'd be at least like croissant. 20 minutes for me to eat and finish. Yeah.
I could put it away still really much faster than
great,
that. That's
another great a story with a real ending. Jesse.
Let me give you a real story. Okay. Let me give you a real story that actually has a real ending. So actually it doesn't, never mind.
It's also a croissant.
So a study was just done recently about human communication and how we communicate. And the focus of it was screams and how the human brain comprehends different screams. And so a test was done where they brought a bunch of people in. I think it was like 12 participants were brought in to shout in different ways. So they would say like, you're being attacked by an armed stranger, go. Or your favorite team won the World Cup, go. Or, you know, like all these different things. And then they were like, we need one for pain, anger, pleasure, sadness, joy, and then a neutral, right? And that's what they did. And so they brought in all these other people to listen to these screams. And they were like, okay, we would like you to categorize them into one of seven different scream categories. So we're going to play you two at a time.
Scream categories.
We're going to play you two at a time. And we want you to recognize, all right, this scream you're hearing, is it one of anger or fear or pain? Or is it like a pleasure scream? Or is it sadness or joy? And what they discovered is it takes people longer to categorize fear and alarmed screams, things like that. Meanwhile, pleasure and joy, incredibly easy. They immediately knew where to categorize those. Like just the way it sounds, they knew. And so then they brought in more people and they were like, all right, let's scan the brain while we do this. Like, let's scan, like, what's going on? And when there was less alarming screams, the brain activity was like, we immediately recognize what like not terrified sounds like. And so the thought process is like, first off, we don't necessarily know how different people scream or alert us of danger. Unlike animals where they immediately know there's like a call for danger in like herds of animals, right?
They're all like,
yeah.
You can't see it, but I did the deer thing.
Yeah, but there's like different, because different cultures and different ways people expect, you know. But what we do know is that we recognize immediately when something is good. So even though we may not necessarily know what that terrified scream was about, we recognize it as not being a good scream, which is why we're immediately alerted. When good screams, we're like, oh, I know what that is. Like, it doesn't even phase us. We're like, oh, man. All
that
right.
Guy's having a good ass time.
Yeah, someone's team just won or they're cheering.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, compared to like, in which case, you know, there's a lot of times where you're especially in L.A., you'll walk down the street and you'll just hear someone like guttural scream. And you're like, I don't know if that was real or if someone just goofing and you like don't know what to do. Yeah. And there's like a weird noise. And you're like, what the hell was that? And it just could be a person on the street. Like, you have no clue. And so you don't know how to interact with it. But if it's like, yeah, you're just like, all right, on with my day. And I thought that was like super interesting that we're looking into it and sort of studying all the different things that, you know, the ways humans communicate with each other.
And how the brain interprets just different sounds is fascinating in and of itself. So. Mm-hmm.
I love the idea that they brought the MRI and they were like, oh, yeah, the brain knows immediately when it's not terrifying. It's like, oh, yeah, no, that's good. You're fine. Like, you don't even don't think worry, about don't it. You're like, no, that's a good screen. Don't worry.
I mean, I think about every time that I've ever been in a situation where something horrific occurred. And almost every time the thing that tipped me off was like a blood curdling scream, like one person either scream or like a gasp, like a
any sharp kind of alarming noise coming out of somebody's mouth. It just like perks you up. And what the hell is that?
Yeah.
Good shit, man. Well, that's it for us, everybody. Thank Wild you guys style. So much for listening. We will be back next week with another little chill mini for you to give you some more lovely Patreon treats. Thank you guys so much for the support on Patreon. We are still working on that extra tier. That'll be coming up soon, I'm told. So we'll see when that comes up. But get ready. We've got some more rewards being worked on in the back end for y'all. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye. Peace out.
Hello, my little Chilluminauts. Welcome to the Chill Mini. Don't worry, Crandall, you're not used to this essential.
I didn't say sink, I said brap. I don't know if that matters.
I'll just make a note of it. That'll be perfect.
Welcome, our patrons over at patreon.com/chilluminati.
Oh, that's a great website, isn't it?
Isn't it fantastic?
Patreon.com/chilluminati pod.
You're selling out a way that people already have agreed to be here.
If you're there, you're here. That's what they say.
A minisode compilation like 6 months from now.
Yeah, this is for you guys in 6 months. Hey, hopefully it's better, you know? And what way to celebrate this end of this horrible time?
We won't be here in 6 months. Why are you? Why do this?
Let us know what actually happened once we let the Egyptian episode come out.
Yeah, tell us what happened.
Let us know what you thought of how we were punished for that.
Unlike our very well-structured and researched previous full episode, Crendor, this is much less structured. We're just going to talk about some wild shit that's happening out in the world right now, or some reader stories, which you will be reading one. But I'm going to hand to Alex first, because Alex seems very excited.
Yeah, okay, so warning on this one. Chilluminati sometimes is not just a paranormal podcast, but also a true crime podcast. So I saw this headline, and I could not go past it because it is just too fucked up. This article is from just 5 days ago, but it is from it happened in February of 2019. In Spain, there is a man in Ventas, Spain, Ventas. I don't know. I'm ignorant to how to say the names of places in Spain.
Isn't that a Kingdom Hearts character?
Probably. He's probably like the inside version of another Kingdom Hearts character. but police got a call from a friend of a 69-year-old lady. And they got worried because this guy, that she was worried because the son, who's 26, and his mother always get in fights, like all the time. The police even knew about it. And so a neighbor called him and was like, they're having another one, and I haven't heard anything in a little while, but I just want you to go check on them. And when they got there, they found body parts all over the apartment. Some were in plastic containers. Some were just on the ground, on this counter. And apparently what happened was he got in a fight with his mom, strangled her to death, and then decided he was going to dismember her to hide the body, you know, like a lot of people who kill people do.
Sure.
But instead, he said he blacked out and he just started eating her. And for 15 days, he ate and stored pieces of her around the house in the fridge and stuff.
He blacked out for 15 days?
He said he had a personality disorder and he was on drugs and he went insane and he started eating his dead mom to get rid of her.
Will wait like 3 days.
I know. And when they showed up, some of the meat was actually in the process of being cooked. Like he was cooking when they got there. And also
it's like a Jeffrey Dahmer apartment.
Yeah. And some of the food was also food. Some of the lady was also fed to a dog.
Oh my God.
I don't know if it was her dog or not, but this dude straight up ate his mom. But the whole reason that I decided to bring this to you, because at the end of the article that I read, which is on Audi.com, which is a website for strange news stories, Emily Rocky, I believe that's how you pronounce the name. I don't know. At the end of the article, the sign off is Gomez was 26 at the time of the murder and arrest. He did confess to strangling his mother. How much time do you think he should get? R.I.P. Mama Gomez.
Oh my God.
R.I.P. Rip Mama Gomez is how the article ends, with no punctuation.
You a real one, Mama Gomez. Yeah.
Shout outs to Mama Gomez. She's out there and she's in there. She's everywhere.
Can I counter that story, please, with something a little better? A little
I just
less.
I to jump out the gate with a dude ate his mom and then fed some to his dog.
Yeah. No, I have a story that I think this is a pretty good one. So in Berlin, at the end of April, a German police bomb squad was called to investigate a hand grenade found in a Bavarian forest. A jogger,
is this another croissant?
A jogger reportedly finding a bag containing a hand grenade.
Oh, shit.
Was found in the forest outside of the city of Passau? Whatever the German version of Passau is. Near Germany's borders with Austria and the Czech Republic. The discovery of forgotten or hidden munitions. It's still regular there. Apparently it happens in the forest all the time because of, you know, World War II. And I guess it's like a thing. And so they were worried that it was a World War II era grenade. And so the bomb squad was called out there. And when they arrived, they noticed that the bag was shaped just like a like old school German grenade. And so when they went up to the bag, they got all their like equipment on.
Like the one from like Medal of Honor?
Yeah, the one that's kind of like long and has like the
big long,
long handle thing, with the
And so they were like, "All right, well, let's go in there." So they put all their equipment on, they walked up to the bag, they opened the bag.
Oh God, what was it?
Inside was a giant rubber sex toy.
Nice.
Like a butt plug?
Also included in the bag were condoms and lubricant. And they did an internet search and confirmed that, in fact, here's the best part. The reason why it looked like a hand grenade is because, and I quote, "There are actually sex toys that look like hand grenades."
So it's dead ass a, like, beehole grenade.
I guess.
Like a rubber beehole grenade.
Mean, just, yeah, what? I guess. And it was in a bag in the woods.
I love that.
Someone was like, "I'm never going to use this again," and toss it into the woods. So there you go.
I love everything about the like way you got to talk about that in a sexy situation. Yeah. I love the idea that people bust out the grenade. You know, I want to know if you can
get in the drawer and
pin out,
grab the grenade.
Yeah,
I like you know? Explode. Is
yeah,
a word
there's so much. There's so much you can do with that.
Yeah, it's
I was curious as to like what you could possibly use something shaped like a grenade for, and I googled it, and now I understand, and I don't really want to understand.
Oh my God!
So there you
wow,
go.
Incredible. Yep. All right. Well, my story.
You could throw it pretty far. Like
you probably could. Yeah.
Yeah. It's got that shape.
So my article comes from April 29th, 2021. More amazing truth to be had. UFO lands in Bolivian village and releases chupacabra-like creature.
Oh, shit.
This is on Coast to Coast AM.
That's where I should go get my news from now on.
Damn. Right? Yes, you should.
This is like the 1998 Godzilla movie where like halfway through the movie, they're like, "Godzilla also has a bunch of raptors that are also Godzillas."
Yeah, little raptor baby eggs. I the one of the few movies I actually have seen.
Really? You saw... Godfather, forget about it. Godzilla 98. Matthew Broderick and Hank Azaria and Jean Reno. Matthew Broderick.
Unmissable. Had it on VHS. Yeah, man. Matthew Broderick. I remember the mall scene.
From
the like
Velociraptors,
around,
so right.
Trying to get to the parking garage. Yeah. Anyway. Residents of a village in Bolivia claim to have witnessed a UFO landing wherein the craft subsequently released a chupacabra-like creature into their community. The very strange incident reportedly occurred in the town of Monteagudo earlier this month when observers first spotted a puzzling halo of light appear in the sky and then descend to the ground. Quote, "There was a crash like thunder," recalled Bolivian UFO researcher Javier Alagia, who indicated that the object appeared to be throwing fire. Things took an even weirder turn when those on the scene saw some kind of entity exit the craft. According to witnesses, this interstellar interloper stood approximately 1 foot tall and sported 3 fingers on each of his hands.
It's the Dobby. It's the driveway Dobby.
What a cutie. What a cutie pie. You're telling me this alien came down, landed, and it was like, "Pop.
Take me to your leader."
He holds up his three-fingered hands, and he makes an O with his mouth, and it says, "Wow."
One foot tall? What a
one
cutie,
foot
what a
tall,
cutie
one
pie.
Foot.
If I get abducted by those
My
guys, I'd be
eat
thrilled. I'd be so happy. I'd be like, you cuties.
Man, they could probably pack a punch, dude.
Yeah, man.
Like those mini alligators. You ever see those like mini crocodile alligator things?
They'll rip your fucking fingers off.
Well, I'm not going to stick my finger in an alien's mouth unless
Dude, have you seen Prometheus? Yeah, it happens. Sometimes.
Anyway, the mysterious visitor is also said to have possessed very large eyes, yet was unable to see, although how exactly that was determined is uncertain. Upon exiting the craft, concerned...
That's a fucked up detail. He had eyes, but he can't see. What? And he's 1 foot tall? No. What are you talking about?
And three fingers? Upon exiting the craft, concerned residents claim the oddity proceeded to wander the streets, frightening children who were watching this all unfold. Just a 1 foot tall alien. What?
Can anyone in the town have a cell phone?
Is that Dobby? This guy?
No. The creature, which many liken to the legendary chupacabra. This is the creature that they're assuming is the chupacabra for some reason.
A little 1 foot tall cute boy?
Yeah.
Lilo and Stitch?
Hold on, let me ask you a question. He's 1 foot tall. What percentage of 1 foot was 12 inches? What percentage is this?
That's like my head from the bottom of my beard to the top of my forehead.
How big is his head compared to the rest of his body? 1 foot tall. 1 foot tall.
They don't say.
He's not that tall.
His head's 2-3 inches.
Yeah, I don't understand how this creature worked. And if it's only 1 foot tall, why did nobody run up to it and like boot it and kick it as it's terrorizing children in the street?
Do not kick him. That is Chupacabra.
I would have been like, hit this little dude. Let's get some pizza.
Yeah.
Here, take this. Take a drag of it.
It's not nice.
The creature, which many likened to the legendary Chupacabra, eventually vanished into the night, and the craft that appeared to deliver it to Earth also disappeared. All that was left behind from the case were some curious impressions on the ground and several shaken residents.
And a light sheen of alien semen blanketing the countryside.
Yeah, that's how you know. To that end, Aliaga has understandably called for a scientific investigation into the matter, though whether such an undertaking occurs seems doubtful. That said, the incident was intriguing enough that it was covered on the Telemundo program Al Rojo Vivo, which interviewed witnesses and showcased some of their drawings of the creatures.
Oh my God.
El Rojo Vivo. R-O-J-O-V-A-L.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. ARV.
You got it.
ARV alien?
Maybe. Let's see. What's taking on? Yeah, so that's about it. They interviewed some witnesses. And there some of the drawings of the creature, as well as the markings purportedly left behind by the UFO.
If I spoke Spanish, I'd believe in aliens more, I think, because the title of one of their pieces on aliens is Enigma Extraterrestre. I'd be like, yeah, all right, I believe.
Yeah. I love it. It just sounds so good. That was my article, man. I thought it was great.
How did nobody just grab a little iPhone shot of that little chupacabra, homie,
or fucking kick it in the head and keep it for yourself?
How is that a chupacabra? Whatever, it doesn't matter.
I don't know. What is the name of the city? It sounds like the chupacabra to me. No. The name of the city was, hang on, I gotta find it. Monte, Monteagudo. Monteagudo.
Man, I don't even see anything on it. The government already covered it up.
That's gone, dude.
Oval-headed alien stuns residents of Bolivian city. Is that what you have?
There you go. No, mine's UFO lands in Bolivian village and releases chupacabra-like creature.
30 centimeters tall.
He's a tiny baby.
What are they talking about, man? God, I gotta see a clip of that. God damn it.
I'm trying to find it. I can't find it. Maybe I'm doing it like... anytime. When was this article?
April 29th, just a few days ago.
I found an article, but there's no video. I gotta find that shit.
But we'll move on to the last thing. Crendor is gonna read a reader story that was posted today up on the subreddit. So Crendor, you can take it away.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
Yeah, you got this. I believe in you.
I got it. All right. Ahem. The door in the sky, free to use on podcast. Hi, pod boys.
Sick.
Longtime listener and viewer of each of you fine gentlemen's content over the years. I'd be honored to have this appear on the pod, but if not, that's cool. I'm more than happy to shout out into the void.
I like this person already.
Right? I'm very much a skeptic. Obviously, it's fun to explore the paranormal and supernatural. I'm down to get weird with it, but until a ghost flings me across the room or an alien lands in front of me to jerk me off or kill me,
oh my
I'm
not God.
You know, I get it.
I have to see
it. This is Jesse's shadow account already, is what this is.
I have to see it to believe it, and I absolutely saw something which is incredibly bizarre. On to the story. It was November, December 2019, and I was working the evening shift, 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. at a fairly large holiday resort in the UK, and because it was peak season, I'd been rushed off my feet all shift. It was a retail shift, left alone, no break, and working by myself with lines out the door. Needless to say, I was tired and could not wait to get home. Ever so slowly, 9 p.m. came, and I eagerly closed down the venue while the team leader cashed the register, and I returned, as expected. It was code 10. I don't know about other chains or stores, but for us, a code 10 is when there's a large amount of cash in the register, £500 plus, and requires a call to security to be escorted to the safe just in case. Either I tried to steal it or someone tried to rob me on the walkover. It was a regular occurrence, so I wasn't surprised. What was surprising, however, was security taking an hour and a half to finally arrive. Skipping forward, I arrive home. At 11 p.m., kick out my work shoes, shuffle into some more casual wear. While doing so, I absentmindedly put my phone on charge. I live with my brother, and as he has done so earlier in the day, it was my turn to walk our wonderful dog, Rosie.
Can I just say, I'm going to butt in quickly to just say that I appreciate which details this writer chooses to leave in this story and include. Some of them have in no way influenced the action at all, but it gives me such a clear picture of this person. I love it.
Yeah, I'm in your home with you right now, Spheric Formula. Yeah. We're there with you.
Shout
right
outs
now.
To Spheric.
I briefly considered bringing my phone as I'd usually listen to music on the walk, instead opting to just enjoy some peace and quiet. I very much wish I had taken my phone. I live in a tourist trap in the southwest of England, so the park isn't really that impressive. It's effectively a field with a little fenced play area for kids, some swings opposite the entrance to the park, a couple benches and some scattered trees with a very big tree at the entrance. Surrounding the park are bungalows, an assisted living home, and various houses. It's a less than 5-minute walk from my flat, and it was drizzling rain, so I arrived even quicker. There are two street lights in the park, one at the entrance, one at the corner of the kids' play area, so when you're not standing under them, it's pretty damn dark. On my walk, I went down one loop and arrived back at the kids' play area, directly under the street light. My eyes traveled up and I stopped dead. There's slight cloud cover, but in a small part of clear sky, roughly 30 to 40 feet up, I see a door in the sky.
What? Wait, yes. What?
I love it. It's giving me Skinwalker Ranch vibes.
Yes.
It was a 4-panel oaken door with a darker shade of brown. It had a creamy white door frame with a black doorknob on the left-hand side. The door was almost angled towards me as if I were staring at a door head-on rather than be upright. When I regained my senses, I thrust my hand into my pocket, only to discover, of course, I'd left my phone at home. I knew straight away that upon looking away, the Twilight Zone-ass looking door would vanish and never to be seen again. So I took it upon myself to study the door and commit everything to my memory. I was transfixed. After it was probably 30 seconds, my dog whined and broke me out of my stupor, head snapping to check on her. There she was, tail wagging, looking up at me. I look back up and the door is gone. I rushed back home and unloaded my experience on my brother, who reasonably raised his eyebrows, and we agreed it was probably a trick of light. But was it? Was there an interdimensional door that appeared before me to take me on forays into the unknown? Perhaps a glitch in the Matrix, or maybe a funny little gray was about to make an appearance? Or was it just that my admittedly tired brain filled the gaps in the dark, rainy evening by looking at the right point at the right time? Who's to say? If you've taken the time to read all this, thank you very much. I've been thinking about posting for a while and been hesitant, but here we are. Much love to the pod. You guys are doing fantastic work, especially right. Friend Door. Love and respect.
Door told her.
I wish he had reached for the door and opened it.
Can I tell you something?
Be here to write that story
because
if you
of
did,
your story. I was so intently listening to Crendor that I was looking at him, but halfway through. Boy, I am going to admit something here that hopefully Alex is going to back me up. Halfway through that story, I looked up at Mathis and forgot which one was Mathis and which one was Grendor. I like, honest to God, I looked up and was like, oh God. Did they switch places? The two of you are both wearing a blue shirt. You have long, you look very similar.
Really true. In a similar zone. Yes. Framed very similarly. Their mics are coming like at the so exact same. Right
now, it is blowing my their face. Grendor, if you could put your hands behind your back and just face the same direction. Now face a little bit towards where, yeah. Like now look at where Mathis is looking the other direction. The total other direction. No one can see this. This is blowing my mind. Go. I'm gonna
now loop print your screen.
It's freaking me out right now.
I printed the screen.
I was watching Krendor talk, and then looked up at Mathis and was like, "Why aren't his lips moving?" I had like a senior moment. If you would have come to me, I would have been like, "Are you my son?" I honestly went crazy. Wow. But speaking of crazy, gentlemen,
I'm about to
give you the best link ever, because I could not let the story of that little tiny alien boy go unfound. I have found for you. Oh, okay. That link did not link. I have found for you the actual
proof that the that actual temple in the Grand Canyon
story from Telemundo.
Yeah, Isis temple was inhabited
featuring
by
the
Egyptian
art of the alien at 30 seconds. It is perfect.
Yeah.
It is exactly what I want that alien to look like.
Oh my God, please. Oh my God, there's a 30 second ad before it.
Yep, I gotta wait.
It is all in Spanish, but none of it matters, because at 30 seconds in, a boy has drawn the alien. And I cannot stress, it is exactly the alien that I pictured.
I cannot wait to.
It is perfect.
Just. Is it. Would you say it's a chupacabra?
I would
in
never
any way?
Say it's a chupacabra. I would say it's the best friend I would ever want. I would say it is the little tiny alien robot that I would want as a child, as a friend.
Oh my God. It legitimately looks like there could be a plush toy of this. Thing? He's like a little body, and the head is like, I would say, 60% of the whole body.
And he was walking around the city.
And little beady eyes.
Oh my God, he's so cute. He looks like a butt plug.
He really does. He looks more like a
butt plug. He does. He looks like a butt
plug. People would try to blow him up. Yeah.
Incredible.
That's what I'm saying. In the hell? I just don't know how to describe that thing, but I know that I love it.
I'm throwing it on the subreddit. Don't worry, guys. I got you.
All right. Head over to the subreddit. That's it for us. Next week is episode 100, Jesse's episode. So whatever Jesse's bringing to episode 100, I can't believe we'll be at 100 episodes next week. Crazy stuff. Thank you guys so much for the support. We will see you in next week. And obviously, Krendor, thank you for joining us on this wonderful chill mini and giving our patrons a little extra of your wonderful voice.
Oh, yeah, dude. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, I'd like to have you on again. I think it's a good idea. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Don't ask him. He's not going to say it's a good idea.
I believe this door was real, by the way.
This door in the sky.
This story rings true to me. The door? I believe in the door. Yeah, I believe
in the sky.
I believe in the door.
What could be on the other side? Michael Jackson?
Anything. Perhaps the next episode of the show. Just reach up and grab it and twist the handle, and perhaps you're
have
already
your phone
there.
On you. And grab your phone.
Yeah.
Goodbye, everybody. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Hello, my little Chilluminauts.
Welcome.
Baby, welcome back.
Ooh.
Episode Chill Mini 40-something. I'll know when we're at 50. We're not there yet.
I'll know.
So I'll keep it in mind. I know. I'm never going to forget.
I mean, we all will. It's, you know, it's just numbers.
It's just numbers.
Eventually, exactly. We'll get to there.
Yeah, I mean, we'll it's going to happen eventually. Yeah.
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 But today's not that day. So what'd you boys bring for any fun stories today?
I got some science for your brain. I'm ready.
I've got a heartwarming story involving a recent episode.
Yeah, well, I got both of you beat. I got a sea monster caught on camera at a professional golf tournament this year.
Hell. Hell yes.
Of course.
Let's hear it.
Of course.
Let's start there. Lake Monster appears in background of golf tournament. Of course, this is coming from Coast to Coast AM. Television viewers watching the Wells Fargo Championship golf tournament over the weekend were taken aback when they noticed a monstrous looking fin suddenly emerge out of the water behind one of the players. The weird scene reportedly unfolded on Sunday afternoon as Keith Mitchell was putting at the 17th hole of Charlotte's Quail Hollow Club, which hosted the PGA event. The seemingly routine moment during the tournament took a strange turn when a rather sizable fin popped out of the water behind the golfer as he was watching to see where his golf ball went. So you can, there's actually a video. It's 13 seconds long. I'll link it to you boys if you want. It's not a, not a difficult one. I'll put it in Zoom chat for you. There you go. That's the video of the lake creature. Worthy enough of Coast to Coast AM news. There it is. Oh, well, did you see that sea monster? I saw it.
Can't wait to see this.
That is like a seal or something. What? It, come on.
That was 13 seconds.
That wasn't a seal.
13 seconds.
It's only 13 seconds.
Okay.
No, that's nothing.
It's a monster. I mean, what are you talking about?
It's something.
It's definitely something.
Why is it playing the Truman Show now? Weird. It just YouTube just started playing the movie The Truman Show just now. That's the real mystery.
That is a real one. Like a seal popping up or something. It's some type of
Jesse. It's a sea monster.
That is the lamest sea monster. It's the tiniest little baby sea monster there ever was.
Well, what they don't tell you is that guy is actually 19 feet tall. So right, that's actually
right. Well, all right, yeah. Perspective. You're right. My bad.
Let's see. An answer was eventually provided by the director of communications for Wells Fargo Championship, who told a local media outlet in North Carolina that the creature was most likely a very large catfish.
Catfish? No, it's a sea monster. I believe sea monster over catfish.
Yeah, you think so?
That thing keeps its nose out of the water for a little bit. Like,
it doesn't look like a catfish face.
You know how you fish for catfish?
With your freaking noodly fingers.
Yeah, you stick a fucking hand down their goddamn throat. Like, they're no joke.
Have you ever eaten catfish, though?
Yeah, catfish is great.
Are you kidding me? My family's from Louisiana. Like, yeah, come on.
Oh, God. I'm going to be going to Louisiana my first time this year. I'm so excited.
Get some boudin, my dude.
That's amazing. Good job. Yeah.
I'm pumped.
Don't miss the boudin on the roadsides.
Yeah, other than that, the Hudson Valley woman saw some sweet Sasquatches, apparently.
Some Squatches? That could be another day.
Yeah, some Sasquatch sightings, multiple sightings of the Sasquatch.
We're about to have a Sasquatch overload, so don't get too far into Sasquatch. I got a great.
I won't even.
Great episode coming soon.
Oh, do you have a great episode? I reached out to that guy who did the Sasquatch documentary on Hulu, was it?
Oh, yeah.
Because I know him through a friend. And after he's gone, he's out of the country for the summer. But when he comes back, he wants to pop on the show.
I'd love to
ask about Squatch.
Me too. I'm like, I'm in. Let's go.
I got to watch the doc. And I got to make sure I'm not making fun of him if we do a Sasquatch episode with him.
Fair enough.
Because the story that I've got is a whopper, but it's a good one.
I'm excited. Well, what'd you bring us today then, Alex?
Okay, so it's a heartwarming story, right? As you know, if you're listening to this far in the future, a couple years ago, the world went through a global pandemic. It was crazy. One of the big things, the real concrete things that have come out of the pandemic is, unfortunately, so many small businesses had to, you know, close their doors forever or fire a bunch of people. Just, you know, heartbreaking stuff that everybody can agree is just a big pile of piss, right? Nobody wants to do that, right? Which brings us.
I'm ready for Daddy Walmart to take over the world.
I'm not ready. I don't want that at all. But that brings us to Milton, West Virginia, where the Blanco Glass Company, who is one of those artisanal, classic, like the dude with the stick with the glowy shit, glowing glass, like artisanal glass makers for hundred years at least. They had to close for months, which basically bodied their business because if you can imagine, like they're not made for that type of loan, you know, just to like have that much saved up to run a company. Late last summer, as they were finally able to like sort of slowly reopen and figure shit out, they went a sort of different route, than normal to, like get their shit back in session. And normally these people, they make things like water bottles and bowls and sun catchers.
I'm on their website right now. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah. Which like normally these water bottles are like $50 at most, but they partnered with a local artist in West Virginia and did a limited run, small little statue. It kind of looks like one of those bubbler lights that you have at Christmas time if you're from the 60s. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but sure. You probably do. Some old lady is listening to this and knows what I'm talking about. But they took a local artist and made a little statue that costs $130. That is the Flatwoods Monster.
Yes.
Where is this thing on their website?
I'll send you the Washington Post article that I have if you want to see.
I do want to see this.
It has a picture of it. It's a cute little guy. As we know, that's like the main power of the Flatwood Monster is that everybody just kind of likes it.
Oh my God, that's so cute.
Yeah, it absolutely is cute. There were only 800 of them, and it ended up being their most profitable year in 20 years.
Wow.
The master craftsman, Daniel Chapman, was like, it was a pretty good seller. He'd been there at Blanco for 40 years, and he uses wood mallet and a chisel to mold the to create the cast. Pretty crazy.
That's crazy.
They found this artist on Instagram, and you know, it totally was a huge boon to them. You know, it was awesome. And the quote is that they're trying to get it away from it being our grandmother's glass, called it a home run. They in a way, we saved this company.
Oh, think my about heart. It was only available till November 2020.
Yeah. That's because they forever. Sold out of it. But here's the good news, which is that, now that they've had this profitable year and they've gotten the Paycheck Protection Program to give them a loan and stuff, the business is rolling. And even though they're not able to wear masks in the hot shop because they have to use their mouths and shit to like make the glass, everybody's doing okay. They've had some scares. They've had some COVID scares, but everything's finally kind of calming down. They took the steps to make sure everybody was safe and protected. Especially, you know, they're blowers. They need their fucking lungs and shit.
Yeah.
But the best thing is that the next thing they're teasing is that they're going to do a Mothman next, another yes. West Virginia. They're going to use the same artist to do the Mothman. So get ready and check out Blanco Glass because they got some. I mean, look, I said it looked like a Christmas ornament, but I'm underselling it. It's like a beautiful, flowing sort of like
I thought it was
twisting
like a
green glass robe,
almost a decanter thing. Is what I was like. Oh, look at this, or some kind of whiskey, like or some kind of like alcohol.
It looks like a bottle, The head could like just pop right out, and the head's red. It has little beady eyes. They're clearly handmade. Awesome.
I love. So I'm going through this. I love that this is very West Virginia, and that I can order moonshine jugs. And I'm actually thinking about like, what if I got a moonshine jug?
Moonshine is one of those liquors where I'm like, oh man, that'd be so cool to have some moonshine around the house. And then I like go take a sip of the moonshine, and I'm like,
done.
Yeah.
And then your hair explodes off of your chest. You're just like. Yeah.
And suddenly you're wearing overalls where one of them is unbuttoned and you're hanging out.
I'm going to let you know. Bare feet. Overalls is, I wish we could rock that trend
in
LA.
One overall undone. Nothing underneath.
I'd be so happy.
Woo! Nothing underneath. Big hole in the knee. That's what I'm talking about. That's the life.
Come on, boys. Let's go.
No shoes on.
Mm-hmm.
Big dirty toes. I want that for myself.
Yeah. That's
you know
a good
those,
life.
You know those possums that Buster and Babs saw on the Tiny Toon Summer Vacation?
Yes.
I want to be them.
The guy, like, oh, jeez. Yeah, I can do that. I'd be happy. That's a slow life. I'd be happy
that's
with that.
That's the life, yeah.
Yeah, man.
That is the chill life to live.
Well.
All right, Jesse, take us to the land of facts.
Let's get crazy. So, for a long, long, long time, scientists have thought that Neanderthals are beloved ancestors long in the past. They would eat lots and lots of meat. Like, that was their thing. They were big meat eaters. They were hunters. They would go around, you know, like woolly mammoth and saber tooth and all that stuff. Anyway, a new study determined that this sort of image we have of meat eating Neanderthals is BS. Bacteria collected from Neanderthal teeth show that our close cousins, these people that we are like, they're on our family tree, they grew their brain mass, you know, between 700,000 years ago and 2 million years ago. Their brains like exploded in size. And they're like, oh, there's no way that meat can do this. Like, they couldn't figure out how it's possible that meat, they were like, there's something, they're missing the like actual nutrients needed, the science behind growing something like a brain over such a long period of time. It doesn't make any sense. Well, they found in the teeth of these Neanderthals that they also ate tons of roots, nuts, and other starchy foods that dramatically altered the bacteria in their mouth. The findings suggest that our ancestors adapted to eating starch at least 600,000 years ago, about the same time that we think our brains would have needed sugars for that like big expansion. The study is groundbreaking because it suggests that our ancestors and Neanderthals were cooking lots of starchy foods, you know, that long ago, way before we assume they adapted agricultural techniques 10,000 years ago. So they were getting food from the ground well before they decided that, like, hey, maybe we should put food in the ground ourselves. They, you know, they were doing it. Huh. And so this is when our brains doubled. This is why, as they got smarter, they developed a higher quality diet. And so now they're eating all different types of sugars and starches and carbs they're putting in their body. And so what they discovered is during this time period, what was actually happening is that our like distant past cousins and ancestors were straight up carb loading. That's how oh, they yeah. developed because they were doing so much physical activities and doing all this stuff. Yeah. They were just like cramming, you know, potatoes and things in their mouth.
Big brain moves. That's what yeah. it's called. Yeah. Big brain plays.
And so that's what, and they kind of got it. Even then they kind of got what they needed. That meat alone was not sufficient. They needed something else to keep them going. And so shout out to, again, just like every other time I look at like a weird food, all those people who died digging up stuff and eating it. Those are the real heroes. When you see something on like the Food Network and it's like, yeah, this is an urchin and someone just thought like, let's cut into this spiky thing and eat the eggs inside. And it's delicious. Shout out to that guy who was like, F it, I'm going to see what this is like. Those are the heroes of history. The ones who the first time like, wait. So this brown thing looks like a turd. If I cook it, it's delicious. Potatoes.
I think about that all the time when I think about how old of a thing beer is.
Yes.
Oh God, yes.
Like what the fuck was that guy doing?
I mean, cavemen were getting like drunk off of fermented fruits for a fucking long time. Like
when I was in Sweden, we were looking at videos of drunk mooses that eat apples that fall off the trees in the forest.
It's so good.
Just dude. End up like wiped out.
They had a good fucking night though. And you know they did. Thank you for bringing that. I'm glad to know that we ate fruits when we were 600,000 years old.
Here's the crazy thing is like, I guess going back to what Alex was just saying, that there's evidence they ate grasses, tubers, and cooked barley, as well as other things that were fermented. So
cooked barley.
We just saw fire and like, what can we put on it? And then can we eat it afterwards?
I mean, that was the ultimate crazy move was like,
and how many died from plucking things that shouldn't have been eaten along the way.
I mean, that was trial and error. You know, that was,
they were like, you know, this looks delicious. People died
doing that. Yeah.
Shout out to that first dude who ate the whole artichoke and just fucked himself up.
that's history is all of that. If you think about it, especially with food, someone was like, I guess we'll try it. And half the time worked out great. And the other half of the time dead, instantly dead.
And how long until they realized what it was that was killing them?
There was a few people that died in the that was just that guy. Yeah. He was an idiot. Dead. Lessons learned. After the fourth or fifth idiot. Guy, you're like, I don't think Ook was right on that one. I don't think so.
Ook was really adamant about those really bright red berries, and I don't know how that worked out at the end.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much for funding us for 100 episodes. And thank you guys for keeping along with us over at the Patreon. We will be back next week with another mini. And we will be back next week with a brand new episode as well. Thank you so much for listening.
Patreon.com/IlluminatiPod.
Anyway, me and my wife were sitting outside indulging on our porch one night, enjoying ourselves. I needed to go to the bathroom, so I stepped back inside, and after a few moments, I hear my wife go, "Holy shit, get out of here." So I quickly dash back outside, and she's looking up at the sky in awe. I look up too, and there's a perfect line of dozen lights traveling across the sky.